Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the ASM Technologies Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rabindra Srikantan, Managing Director of ASM Technologies Limited, for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. A very good afternoon to everybody, and a very warm welcome to ASM Technologies Limited Q2 FY26 earnings call. I'm joined today by members of our senior leadership team, Mr. N.N. Rathore, our CFO, Mrs. Vanshree Kulkarni, our Company Secretary. We have Mr. Rajesh, our Finance Head, and we have SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor. As this is our first call, I'll start with a very short introduction of our company, our various business segments, and then move on to our financial performance. So we are about 30 years ago. We were founded about three decades ago. And over the years, we have grown into a leading end-to-end engineering R&D, ER&D, and a design-led manufacturing, which is called DLM, company, providing solutions across the entire product lifecycle from concept design to engineering using precision manufacturing. When we say precision manufacturing, we are not into mass manufacturing. Everything we do is very custom and relatively complex and high precision. This is something which differentiates us. We serve customers across the globe in the U.S., U.K., Singapore, Japan, and many other geographies. We operate from four manufacturing facilities: one in Bagalkot in Karnataka, second one in Sriperumbudur in Tamil Nadu, and two in Chennai. Apart from that, we have six global development centers and 10 offices across the globe. We broadly operate in two business verticals. One is the high-tech segment, and the other is broadly in the engineering segment. In the high-tech segment, we specialize in providing systems, subsystems, precision parts for complex equipment, mainly for the semiconductor equipment, consumer electronics equipment, industrial electronics, and solar equipment. Industries in this vertical, as we know, are undergoing global supply chain realignment, with India rapidly emerging as the preferred design and manufacturing hub. We see this transformation coming alive with significant investments being made in India by both global leaders and the Indian government. Our deep engineering expertise strategically positions us as a critical partner to global OEMs looking to localize high-value manufacturing. In this regard, we also have set up a joint venture called ASM-HHV to focus on the solar equipment segment, and we are well on track, and we expect to start doing some amount of delivery later this year. In the transportation sector or engineering sector, we again work both on the ER&D and the DLM. Here, our focus is industrial and large vehicles and off-highway vehicles. Here again, we work with global OEMs and next-generation companies for mobility and for engineering. Across both our verticals, that is the high-tech and the engineering, we use a significant amount of industrial AI. This is our digital layer to enhance operational outcomes and drive efficiency. We use some proprietary AI frameworks to increase our yield, throughput for performance monitoring, and for predictive maintenance. We are very consciously investing in infrastructure, people, and capacities to meet our growing demand. We have recently signed an MOU with the Government of Karnataka to invest 510 crores to expand our ER&D-focused DLM and precision engineering capabilities. We have also signed an MOU with the Government of Tamil Nadu to invest 250 crores to further enhance our DLM capacity. Once operational, these facilities will significantly enhance our capacity, supporting growth in both our verticals. Now, moving on to our financial performance, We are pleased to report a quarter of strong growth and margin expansion. Our Q2 for this current fiscal, our revenue has grown by 171% year-over-year. The strong growth has been driven by execution across both our segments. EBITDA was 31 crores against 7 crores, with margins at 19.7%, supported by operating leverage and an improved mix. PAT was around 19 crores, growing from 2 crores year-on-year. In terms of our half-yearly performance, six-month performance, revenue stood at about 277 crores compared to 110 crores during the H1 of the last financial year, FY25, a growth of 153% year-on-year. EBITDA was 56 crores with a margin of 20.3%. PAT stood at 35 crores compared to 5 crores in the same period last year. DLM contributed to 63% of total revenues, while ER&D accounted for 37%. CapEx for the half-year stood at about 11 crores, and the net cash position was 77 crores as of September 2025. We believe that we can continue this growth momentum in the second half of the year. I would also like to add a few points. First of all, again, once again, thank all of you for joining the call. We are now open for questions. We would like to mention a few things. One, we will not take up any customer names, so we request all the speakers to refrain from referring to any customer names, which will be very speculative for us. Also, we will refrain from any guidance. Right. These are some of the things, and we will not give any forward-looking guidance. Please do avoid any customer-specific or account-specific details. With this, it's open for Q&A. We request you to go ahead.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question-and-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nilesh Jain from Astute Investment Management. Please proceed.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity, and congratulations for a great quarter. My first question is, I want to understand on the manufacturing side, which industry has helped us to drive this growth at least for the first half, if you can share by industry, at least on the manufacturing side.
Sure. Thank you very much. For us, we are not providing specific segmentation. For us, both high-tech and the engineering segments have contributed to the increase in our DLM.
Right.
Right. Like I said, we are in all the four segments when it comes to high-tech. It is semiconductor, solar, consumer, and industrial electronics. All of them have contributed. Also on the engineering segment, it's been across all these segments.
Sure. Second question is, if you can share the CapEx plan for at least FY26 and FY27.
Okay. I'm going to request Rajesh to answer that. Just please do speak up. You're a little feeble.
What he says. Yeah. Hi. Yeah. This is 25-26. We have CapEx addition will be another 30-35 crores, the minimum what we are expecting. It may go up depending on whatever the MOI time. We are in the discussion with government for the allotment of the land. If the land comes through, this CapEx will go up depending on the availability of the land, allotment of the land.
Okay. For FY27?
FY26-27, we are still working on it. Depending on the land availability, we are going to plan our next developments.
Sure. My third question is on the MOU which we have shared. Can you probably talk about the timelines and how would be about the funding and everything?
Yeah, I can answer that. So, like Rajesh said, both the MOUs are signed. We are in the process of acquiring the land. So timeline-wise, it will be about the next 18 to 24 months is what we are planning once the land is acquired.
Yeah.
And in terms of funding, that was the second question. Funding will be a combination of accrual, combination of some debt, and if needed, some additional equity. And we also have some potential incentives both at the from the central government and different state governments.
Sure. And then last question is, we have been seeing a lot of multinational companies setting up R&D centers in India through GCC. How do you see competition from them for a design?
Can you repeat? Your voice is a little patchy. What did you say, last part? How do you think?
How do you see competition from them on the design side? There's a lot of multinational companies are setting up GCC in India for their R&D center.
Got it, got it. We understand. Okay, so see, we don't necessarily, I mean, GCCs are growing in a big way. For us, ER&D, we have two things. One is we have ER&D as a business. Also, our ER&D supports our DLM. So what we would have seen over the years, we are pivoting very rapidly into DLM. And for that, the ER&D is a very, very key part of the DLM initiative. So that's kind of where we are heading.
Okay, sure. I'll get back in the queue.
Sure. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meet from Niveshaay. Please proceed.
Yes, sir. Hi, Rabindra Ji and team. Congratulations on a strong set of numbers. Kudos to everyone for achieving such a great milestone in the last 32 years. Wishing you a continued success. Sir, Mitsubishi shifting towards the manufacturing, right? So 58% of the revenue from manufacturing in H1 FY26, which is 12% in H1 FY25. So it is lagging the gross margin a bit. So, and service is not the growth driver for this quarter. There is a slight degrowth in the revenue also and much more declining margin. So just, sir, just want to understand, could you explain what needs we should expect for FY26 and FY27 between manufacturing and service? And based on needs, what kind of margin profile we should expect?
Okay, no, no. Thank you very much. So, like I said, we're not giving any forward guidance. But one of the things is, as we've seen over the years, we are very progressively moving into DLM. I think that momentum will continue. We will be having more and more DLM. That is where all our bigger investments are going in. And for that, we will also continue to invest in our ER&D. So that's, so we expect right now the momentum is very robust, in both the verticals we operate in, both the high tech and the engineering, right? So we expect this kind of momentum to continue. And today, given that there's a lot of friendshoring and there's a lot of interest to for a lot of global companies to both sell into India and also, you know, develop from India, we expect this momentum to continue in the medium term.
So, like, sir, if the momentum continues to increase, we will maintain the EBITDA range of 20% or there will be lower EBITDA. Like, last quarter, we have done the 60 crore in the manufacturing side, and this quarter was very good, Q2 95 crore, right? So, still, what kind of margin profile, at least, could you give a range, if any, not specific number? I also agree that you cannot share the guidance, but any range would be helpful, sir.
Range also we will not be able to share, but let us say that the last three quarters or last few quarters are quite representative. So you'll have to kind of use that as a reference. Because just for everybody's benefit, this is something, I mean, some of you have met us in earlier calls and all that. This is something
yes.
We have very consciously worked for the last 8 years, where we moved from a pure ER&D to start getting into DLM. And in between, we had 2 years of COVID. So a lot of this work started 8 years ago, and we've invested, we have grown, we have got a lot of traction into DLM. And now, slowly, those things are beginning to, they're playing out, and it's more visible in the last few years.
Understood. So second question would be, sir, also what is your view on the competition specifically, like more global players wanting to us in India and manufacture this equipment, right? So is there any chance, and these players are making much more critical machineries, and maybe we are also developing these kind of machines, and so is there any chance of using our share in terms of market share, or what's your view on the competition?
So we've been working in this segment for many years, for about 20 years. It is just that we pivoted from pure ER&D to DLM. So this is industry-wise, business-wise, is not new to us. It is just that we have started scaling into DLM. So India will continue to grow. This is the fastest growing economy, large economy in the world today. We will expect more and more players, and with that we will grow, and so will others. So we expect the entire both our verticals to significantly scale in the coming years.
Understood. And sir, when one should expect the scaling in semiconductor equipment manufacturing side? So, maybe 50, 100 crores scaling in the manufacturing from semiconductor equipment.
Like I said, we are not giving segment-wise information.
Okay,
So
okay, okay.
for us, DLM will continue to scale. You've seen the change over the years, over the quarters. So we will continue to be more DLM going forward.
Okay. And sir, one last
Sorry
question.
To interrupt, Mr. May. May we request you to join the question queue?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer questions from all participants in the queue, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Raj Sharad Agarwal from CJ Shah Family Office. Please proceed.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, I have two questions. Sir, we have committed big CapEx, you know, in Karnataka and Tamil Nadu. Just wanted to broadly understand, out of this 750 crores that we have committed, how much would be, you know, incentives and, you know, land provided by the government, and how much would we have to put in the business?
Okay. You had another question, or?
Can I ask after you answer this, please?
Okay, sure. Okay, thank you very much. So broadly, we are still working out the incentives which are available, but as we know, there's about 25%, which is publicly announced by the central government, and at the state government level, there is an additional 25%. So this is definitely for CapEx. In some cases, it's a few other things.
Yeah.
And
only for the machinery part of it.
Mainly for the machinery parts. So we are in the process of finalizing, you know, our applications at both the central level and at the state level, and we should know that maybe in the next month or so on how much would be incentive and how much would be our contribution.
Okay, got it, sir. And second question on the solar side, you know, we are doing this work in our JVV. So are you planning a separate plant for this? And, you know, how fast would be the ramp up here? Just want to broadly understand your thoughts on the solar side.
Sure. So we have a separate plant which should be in place in the next few months, and as a separate plant for that. And we expect some of the deliveries to happen later this year or definitely early part of next year, but most probably later this year.
Okay, got it, sir. So those are my questions. Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayush Agarwal from MAPL Value Investing Fund. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, in DLM, you know, within the consumer electronics division, without naming any customers or, you know, the value of machine or anything, would just like to understand, you know, the scope of machinery that we are currently doing, number of machinery that we are doing, and how many do we plan to add, if you can give some color on that.
Sure. We will not be able to quantify the number of machinery, but I can tell you what kind of machines they are. Across our sectors, whether it is industrial, consumer, solar, or in semiconductor, we do a lot of automation related work, which includes vision, which includes robotics, which includes lasers, and a lot of testing. All these are all the different areas we cover across in the high tech. But we'll not be able to quantify and tell you it boils down to segmentation, which right now we have agreements not to disclose some of this information.
Understood, sir. So just, you know, trying to understand the scope of work. So, you know, typically given India now is manufacturing a lot of consumer electronics, including like smartphones and other things. So if you can help us understand, whenever any manufacturer, smartphone assembler is putting up a capacity, whether it be the $10 million line, $50 million line, whatever that amount is, like, are we catering to 10% of their needs, 20% of their needs? If you can comment something on that, because that will help us understand how much of the value chain we are covering.
That also is because, let me answer it in a more broader way. If you take the total addressable market, which is available to us across all our sectors, it is somewhere about, say, annually, and this is a global requirement, it's not necessarily India, it would be at least about 40 billion per annum. Is the total addressable market by us, and the total market itself in the segments we play in is about 130, 140 billion globally. That is one part. In the 40 billion is where we have capability to address some of it. So there are some areas, like I said, those 5-6 areas where we are working on. We will continue to do more and more of that and also add some more adjacent capabilities to that. So whether it is opportunities in India or outside India, where, you know, wherever in the world, we should be able to address them. And by and large, what we do is not necessarily an India play. We work with a lot of global majors and with whom we've been working for quite some time.
So while I understand that, you know, we work with a lot of global customers, but majorly it is, at least as we segmented in our quarterly release, is that under DLM also it is majorly domestic. So even though if they are global customers, we are supplying to their domestic needs. So just, you know, if you can segment it further, like you have already segmented from the 130, 140 billion opportunity, 40 billion is where we have capability. Within those 40 billion, like, you know, how much would be that time in India? Something if you can, like, you know, talk that, how much is, like, you know, India currently and where we are playing?
No, that also would be difficult. See, in terms of the global customers, whether it is in India or somebody is exporting from India or it is on to the some global location, we don't segment it in terms of geography as much. We are not very concerned about, we don't look at it that way. Because today every major global player has presence in India one way or the other. So in many cases, they will engage with their local entity even if it is for a global delivery.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Sanjaya from Ampersand Capital. Please proceed.
So thanks a lot, sir, for the opportunity. And thanks for organizing your maiden analyst conference call. I just want to know that you have announced this massive capex of some 750 crore with Karnataka and Tamil Nadu government. How important, how critical these are for your sustaining the growth that you said that you will be doing? Because this government, their approval, etc., can be up and down. So if you can just give a sense of that, and also in that context, will your asset turn ratios or return on capital employed, etc., will be different with this kind of capexes, or are you getting into a new area of businesses, or you are maintaining, you are continuing in your same area of business in these two states?
So I'll answer the second part first. Broadly, we will continue to focus on what we are currently doing. And we will continue to look for anything which is adjacent to our capability, whatever we feel is adjacent, right? That is one. The reason we are looking at these geographies is that is where the current ecosystem is in terms of supply, in terms of skilled people in terms of manpower. So right now, because of what has been happening over the years, whether it is in terms of defense tech or aerospace and all these areas, there's a lot of maturity in terms of supply chain and skilled people in these parts of India. So that's the reason we are expanding in these two areas currently.
Understood, sir. So if you can just tell me, when you mentioned that you will sustain the growth momentum, do you have anything particular kind of rate that you wanted to highlight?
We can't, we're not giving forward guidance, but normally we have visibility of at least 18 months and in some cases 24 months, because we are always working on something which we build, it has to go through qualification, and only then can you make and deliver. So we typically have a rolling meaning at any point of time we would have at least an 18 month forward visibility on what we are doing. It is based on that we can say that we can maintain the momentum.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman from Astute Invest Management. Please proceed.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. My first question is on employee count. If you can talk about what is the number as of today in services, as well as what is the number today in manufacturing, and where do we see this number in the next 1 to 2 years?
Sure. So we are a little over 2,000 people, right, broadly at a very high level. And in the 2,000 people, about 40% would be what we call manufacturing, that is BLM, and people who are full-time supporting BLM. This is what we call manufacturing engineering. And the ER&D would be about 1,200, but in the ER&D, they also support BLM, broadly if you look at it. So you can take it as a 60-40, 40 dedicated to BLM, and in the 60%, some of them also support from a design activity to the BLM. So that's where we are on the employee count.
And so the question was also, where do we see this number for both the segments in the next 1 to 2 years?
We will see this probably, again, it boils down to guidance. So this number will continue to grow. We've grown substantially. If you look at the last 2 or 3 years, there's been a substantial growth. So it will be probably, like I said earlier, if you look at the last year or two, if you've seen the scale up in our DLM, so I think that could also have an impact on the employee growth in the same ratio.
So say the number of employees double to say 4,000 in next 1 to 2 years, you think the ratio will be 60-40 only, or the ratio will switch?
It would be somewhere there, because it is since it is basically very it's a high mix manufacturing, it has a lot of design and engineering content. So we expect that like 60-40 or maybe a 50-50 kind of a mix.
Sure, sir. My next question is, as of today, we have expanded our DLM facility in the last few months and few quarters. But without the MOU land and without the MOU capacity, what is the peak capacity, peak revenue we can do from the current facilities in DLM?
So, thing is, we are also adding some other facilities. We are adding one more facility in the next few months in Karnataka, which will be very similar to the one we already have. We should have that up and ready in the next couple of months to add to our capacity. In terms of capacity utilization, I'll let Rajesh answer that.
Yeah, respecting the capacity utilization is currently is about 80 to 85%. So similar growth we are expecting in the coming quarters as well.
So sir, we are say roughly doing in PLM whatever number. So then 80-85% means obviously new plant will get added. But peak revenue is like maybe 600-700 crore in DLM, is the understanding?
Again, that is leading to forward guidance. What we are trying to say is we are adding one more capacity which should be up and ready very soon. Very soon, as in maybe end of December or maybe early January. So that will be a substantial increase in our capacity. That would essentially mean in 12 months we have added three facilities. and we will continue doing that while the larger one is while the larger one happens.
Sure, sir. Final question is on senior management hiring. So we recently added a couple of senior people in our team. If you can talk about how the integration process is happening and what is the plan of hiring in the organization
We have a lot of senior people joining us. Very strategically, we are hiring both in India and outside of India. And we continue to do so in both our segments. And again, like I said, we are very design and engineering heavy for the DLM. So we look for people, you know, and it is not something which is very commonly available. So we are very actively looking. We have added quite a few, and we will continue to keep adding the senior management.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anant Jain, an investor. Please proceed.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. One question that I have is we haven't seen service revenue growth in this quarter. So when do you think our service revenues can start growing again? My second question is, I mean, most of whatever you are saying, we understand that you can't take client names, but I mean, if that is the kind of information, like for example, a company of our size doing around 500-600 crores in revenues, it becomes very difficult when you say 40 billion is an addressable market size. Can we just try to be more precise about what we are trying to address here? I mean, and then, like, you know, you are not even ready to bifurcate between engineering and high-tech. I just don't know how can one appreciate the work that we are doing if we can't even, like, you know, give the level of details which are expected. And finally, feedback on presentation. So that you could have just given a statement and not given a presentation because your presentation was just presenting numbers in a different way, which I think there are a lot of websites which can do better than that. So if you can give qualitative data, share qualitative data in the presentation, that would help investors understand what we are doing, where we are doing. Finally, on this capex of 500 crores and 300 crores that you have put that you have announced, can you share in terms of, you know, segments where, you know, or rather, like, you know, phases? When can we see these different phases of these capex coming in, and when can we see, like, do we expect revenue recognition or revenue realization from the capex happening once the 500 crore is completely deployed or the 300 crore is completely deployed? Or can we see it, you know, in phases, the revenue to start flowing from this? If you can answer that. And from the current set of, you know, your the management indicated that, you know, we are at 80% utilization levels now. With the new facility that is coming up, which is outside of this capex, what can be the peak revenue utilization?
Got it. Okay. So feedback taken on the presentation, we will work on that going forward. Now, in terms of the ER&D revenue, some of the projects some of these are six-bit projects, so we will hope to finish them in the early part of Q3. So some of those revenues will reflect in Q3. Then, in terms of the additional capacity, what we are adding, that should be incremental one which we are adding in the next few months, that should probably give us some yield in Q4 and going beyond that. Now, in terms of incremental on the larger ones, they will definitely be in phases. We will be probably doing it across three phases, and as each phase is implemented, there will be the revenue will be accredited, right? And the other question you had is in terms of you know, giving you data on how to understand it. I think, like I said, segmentation is difficult for us, and you know, we are also trying to see what is the best way to communicate this, and we will also see if there is a better way to communicate in terms of segmentation.
Sir, one question is on the service side, growth on the services side. From when can we expect to see that?
Services growth is also happening. It is not like it is not happening. You will see that in the coming quarters, they continue to grow on that side as well. But we are very consciously using some of our ER&D capability to drive the DLM. Right? That is where we see more because, like I've been saying, we're very rapidly pivoting into DLM. So we use our ER&D also to help us design and engineer newer products. So that becomes our priority. So for us, priority is if we need capacity to drive DLM, we will use our ER&D capacity to drive our DLM. And ER&D will continue to scale in its normal way.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for responding.
And all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajay from Hedgehog Investments. Please proceed.
Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted one clarification, like, because in the manufacturing division, like, we have mentioned that we have visibility for next 18 to 24 months. So just wanted to understand, like, the current run rate which we have in the manufacturing business. So was there any one-off large order which contributed to this, or should we expect this run rate to sustain? Just one clarification on this. And also, like, the larger part of the question, like, on the capex side, like, we have, like, 300 to 500 crore capex which we have. So, on the current new manufacturing plant which is going to start by this maybe Q4 of FY26 and which is also progressing as per schedule, so how much of that capex has been deployed in this plant and how much do we expect going forward? And second question is on the services. Sir, services revenue has been somewhat lumpy in my understanding. So, if maybe you can explain the nature of this business and what drives this variation and how should we expect going forward this lumpiness and also on improvements here, how should we look at that? Any comments on that would be really helpful.
Got it. So, again, when we said we have 18 to 24 months visibility, these are also industries and customers we've been engaged for a while. So is this something which is lumpy and which is like a spike and it's not like it's your question is was it a one-off? So like I said, these are things we've been working on. And in our business, you have to design, engineer, prototype, qualify, and then start getting into volume production. So that momentum will continue. So that was one of your questions. The other one was on the capex. So this capex basically will be like I think Rajesh has already explained how much we are investing in the immediate few months. So that will be accredited from later part of Q4 into the following year. And
the major part is coming in the coming years.
Major part is coming. And your other question is on the services revenue. Services revenue, like I said, if there are some fixed-bid projects and so on, we need to wait for some acceptance. So you will see in the Q3, Q4, there will be some momentum on the ER&D side as well.
Understood, sir. And, sir, one last question, like, because you cannot take maybe customer names and all, but maybe if you can elaborate on the customer diversification, like how much of our revenue is currently concentrated. And like the current new capex which we are going to deploy. So are we seeing traction from new customers across maybe new geographies or newer sectors, or is it like just getting concentrated into the existing customers? Maybe if you can elaborate on the customer diversification part, that will be really helpful to understand the growth prospect going forward.
Sure. So we have existing customers and new customers. With the existing customers, we are always looking to, one, go to new geographies, also go into new product lines, because many of our customers are large customers across both our verticals. So it's also geography, additional product lines, and new customers. It's a combination of all of that, which we continuously do.
Got it, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shrikant from Sam Capital. Please proceed.
Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. My question is relating to aerospace industry. we are providing services to aerospace companies. So whether the company is planning to provide components to the same client, is there any plan going on this?
Yeah, thank you. So yeah, we are working with a couple of aerospace companies, and we expect, you know, we've been engaged with them for a few years, and we hope in the coming years that business will scale, because it's also very adjacent to what we are currently doing in the high-tech industry in terms of capabilities.
And next question is relating to medical device. We are in the segment of industrial electronics. Whether this caters to medical device or something is going to happen there?
So when we say industrial, it also includes medical, anything which we classify that under industrial electronics. So that's an industry, again, we've been working on that for several years.
And one final question is, we have collaboration with IISc Bangalore relating to nanoscience and engineering. Can you give business update, what is happening, what is the growth happening there? What is the future aspects of it?
So, sure. So we work with several academia, IISc, the Center for Nanoscience. We've been working with them. We've been working with a couple of other education institutions. So we do a couple of things. There are some very fundamental research projects where we are working on where it is a new process or a new technology. We do that. In some cases, if we are developing something and we need some assistance, especially in terms of materials, in terms of testing, in terms of calibration and so on, we do work with academia wherever that capability and those facilities are available, including what we call characterization. So we use some of their labs wherever they are, and we work with them.
And one final question relating to cybersecurity. We have collaborated with Electric IQ. So can you see whether there is new orders coming or a new order pipeline to us?
So yeah, we work in that as part of our high tech vertical. We do have some customers in the cybersecurity space. And we also use some of that technology in what we develop, because a lot of what we develop has to have a security layer. So we not only work with them, we also use some of these technologies within what we are building.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rupesh from Long Equity Partners. Please proceed.
Yeah, hello sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I think my first really comment is follow on from the previous participant. I think Titan Engineering and Automation Limited is, I think, one of our competitors. I don't know if it's a competitor, but at least it's in the same field. And when I go to their website, right, sir, I can see vision-based inspection systems. I can see photos of so many products. I can look at their assembly lines. There are so many more details, right, which kind of gives the feel of the business, the complexity of the business. And I think Titan Steel is significantly larger company than us. And if they are willing to share, then I would request you to relook at our policy of not sharing some of these details, because I'm sure they also have, you know, customer NDAs and other things. So that is just the first sort of like comment. Then my question, sir, is in export markets, right? Some of these customers you have said that you are geography agnostic, but where are we on the qualification processes for let's say semiconductor customers or consumer electronics customers? Some idea you can give that we'll get most of the qualification in let's say 6 months, or it will take 1 year or 2 years. Most of our offering will be qualified. Some qualitative comment around that. That would be one question. The second question, sir, is a lot of these products that we supply, what is the replacement cycle for these products? I mean, are they linked when our customers do capex, like when they set up new lines or new fabs, or some of these products can also be linked to the production volume, that as the production volume grows, you know, there is a wear and tear and some of the other things, and then we also get, you know, repeat orders. Something about that. So if you can address these two questions first.
Sure. So your feedback taken, we will also see how best we can give more information. We will work on that for sure. Now, in terms of your other question is in terms of qualification. Qualification is a continuous process. It's not a one-time. So as and when you come up with newer parts, products, subsystems, systems, anything, it has to get qualified, it has to get accepted. And so that is not a one-time, it is a continuous process. Like I said, we have visibility for 18 to 24 months. In that, part of that is also getting qualifications. The fact that we're working in this industry for about 20 years, and we use many of these customers also for a long time, and a lot of this process is known. So our learning process of this was many years ago. So this continues on a continuous basis. Second is, you're basically talking about what is the life cycle or what is the life of these things. So different industry is different. If you go to something in consumer electronics, which is very fast changing, so this could be something which could be every year, or you know, maybe every year and a half, could be sometimes even less than a year, depending on the product. If you take semiconductor, it is a very long life cycle. It could be 15, 20, 25 years. But in that long life cycle, there is a lot of refreshment, there's a lot of upgrade, there's a lot of opportunity during that long life cycle. And if you take industrial, it could be somewhere in between. It could be anywhere, sometimes it's 5 years, sometimes it's 8 years, it comes somewhere in between in terms of the product life cycle. So each of them presents a different opportunity, and semiconductor, of course, is a very, very high value, and that's why it is a very long life cycle equipment. And there, during the life cycle, there's a lot of opportunity to work with that equipment.
Okay, okay. Just one clarification, sir. I mean, export manufacturing revenue is not much. It's like sub, I think, half yearly 7 crore. So is qualifications holding back the growth in exports, or still that is still in business development? That is one. And then the second question is, in this semiconductor, are we in the, you know, front-end manufacturing, or we are in the back-end manufacturing? Most likely we should be in back-end. And some idea there around, you know, I mean, I know that a lot of semiconductor manufacturing cases are going on in India, but some idea about some you know, sub-area of back-end line that you are focusing on.
Sure. So I'll answer the second one first. So there is no back-end equipment being made in India. What you're referring to is probably the OSAT, where they're using back-end equipment to package and bond and so on. So that is the differentiator. We're not an OSAT company, we're at the equipment level. So almost everything we do are for global customers. So we don't differentiate whether it's export or we domestically supply to any of the global majors within India, and whether they use it in India or take it wherever in the world, we don't really differentiate too much, because today everything is very globalized. What you're telling about export revenue, where something actually got shipped outside India for a non-rupee denomination versus supplying to a global major within India, we don't differentiate too much. Right? So that is kind of one this thing. And I don't know if I answered all the questions. Yeah, okay.
So I mean, sorry, are you in the wafer growing part of the
business,
or are you in the machine? Okay, so you are in the wafer growing part of the business. Yeah.
We do both. We are both on the front end and on the back end. This is something we've been working on in semiconductor engineering for over 2 decades. So we've been on both the sides. And these are all mostly global. I mean, there is some of our customers' equipment, you know, while they go all over the world, some of that comes back to India as well for what is happening in India.
Okay, okay. I have more questions, sir. I'll come back in with you. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Trivedi from Nepean Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. My question is regarding your 760 crore capex over the medium term. Given the current cash flows and the size of your company, it's a very large number. Could you talk a bit about what is the means that you're thinking about financing this?
Sure. Like I said earlier, it would be a combination of debt, accrual, incentives, and some equity, which we are working on, and this would be over 3 phases. So over the 3 phases, we will evaluate as and when it progresses on what will be you know, how much of debt, how much of equity, how much of incentives and accruals. There'll be a combination of all four of this.
Okay, so just to clarify, at this stage, you are still not clear how much equity will be required, right?
We have an a broad understanding. Depending on the phases, we will decide how we want to do this. Like I said, over the three phases, we will decide on how much we want to do.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tej from Diamond Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. You know, earlier, one of the participants asked about customer concentration. If you could put a number to it, I mean, how much would be the top one customer, you know, contributing to the revenue? Or probably, let's say, if not top one, what would be the top three clients contributing to the revenue? And if you could provide this for both of the segment, manufacturing as well as service. This is first question.
Okay. So broadly, 60% is from 10 customers. That's what we can share. Individually, number one or number three or the top three will be difficult. So 60% would be from top 10 customers.
And this is for the overall business?
Excuse me?
This is for the overall business, I mean manufacturing plus service.
Overall business, yes. We do have customers for whom we do both BLM and ER&D as well.
Got it. And one more question. I know you are not giving any specific information, but then if you could help us understand, and one of the participants touched upon this point, but if you could just broadly help us understand, one of the participants also mentioned the name of the competitor, but if you could help us understand, you know, let's say the manufacturing clients that you have today, right? How much portion of their capital, the machinery requirement would you be meeting? I mean, I don't want any exact number, but if you could help us understand with the range, maybe let's say less than 10%, less than 5%. I mean, what is the number today and then what's the plan ahead? Are you developing new products for them? If you could just broadly help us understand this and today, for your major clients in the manufacturing business, of the total portion of the line, how much is today indigenized? I mean, how much of the line is made by Indian players and, you know, how much is still dependent upon, let's say, non-Indian players and particularly the Chinese players? If you could help us understand this part.
Yeah, so the last part will be difficult to answer for a number of reasons on how much is coming from India and non-India. See, for us, it's very difficult to give one number on what is our share in the CapEx, right? There are different types of technology, different types of equipment where there is a different share. So it's not easy to give that answer. So it is, since we work on a variety of technologies and a variety of equipment, each one is varied. So it's very hard to come up with a single number.
Okay, but...
And that is also constantly changing given the momentum in India.
But I get that, but I just wanted the range. I mean, of the total portion, I know you probably might be catering to different equipment of a different whole line, but just wanted a broad range of the total capex of the whole line, if you could give that number.
See, there are places where we would be the sole supplier, and there are places, other customers where, you know, there will be other incumbents globally. So it's very difficult. It can go from single supplier to maybe four or five suppliers, global suppliers. So it is hard to say that.
Got it. No problem. And one more question on the solar business. If you could, have we supplied to any clients in India or globally for the solar business? And, you know, if you could just... help us understand, you're also talking about putting up a plant for solar, right? So if you could help us understand, you know, how are we expecting this business to scale up? Because we see a lot of capacities coming in, cell plus panel in India at least. So if you could help us understand this part of the business.
So solar today for us is an India play. Solar is not just a global play. As we know, there's a lot of solar happening in India. And India is probably the second largest solar destination in the world. So India is big for us as far as solar goes.
Got it. And any clients, have you already supplied to?
Stage.
I mean, this
yeah,
is just I mean
have.
This is just a completion
no,
of that question.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
we have.
Okay.
We have supplied. Yeah.
And is it possible to name or I mean?
No, we're not naming, but I think the large solar players in India are known, the handful of them. So we work with some of them.
And our equipment is for the panel part, or is it mostly for the cell equipment?
It's at the cell level.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajinkya Jadhav from Chris Portfolio. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My question is regarding the semiconductor part. So given the boost from the central government for the semiconductor industry, so how our total addressable market will evolve given the opportunities that will be unfolding in the coming years? If you can delineate that, because what I understand, like you have been supplying to the global players. So as the industry was in India, how our role get evolved?
So India, definitely there's a lot going on. The PLI scheme has been very, very helpful, and we've seen almost 10 or 12 different large investments being announced and all are being implemented. Like we told earlier, this is something we've been doing for a long time globally. So some of our customers' equipment are in India and will continue to come back into India on the investment which is going on in India right now. So it definitely helps the global semiconductor ecosystem and helps us as well, because anything happens here for any of our global customers, automatically a lot of the local support and all that would come to us. We'll get a big percentage of that.
As of now, is there any semiconductor equipment manufacturing happening in India? Equipment manufacturing, I'm asking.
No.
Okay. So that will come in, you are saying, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank everyone for joining us on the call today. And what we would like to say is that these are very exciting times for ASM Technologies. We are operating in a very, very growing environment, and have strengthened our own manufacturing ecosystem like we spoke about, and will remain focused on scaling both our engineering and our design-led manufacturing business. Our focus will continue to be on profitable and sustainable growth driven by operational excellence, client partnership, and disciplined capital allocation. For any other queries or clarification, feel free to reach out to SGA, our investor relationship advisors. Once again, thank you very much for all your time, and wish you all a great day and a week ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ASM Technologies, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.